Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. From the Arts Desk, Anderson Symphony Orchestra is presenting a show called A Little Night Music with MG5 on June 25th. Marion Civic Theater has On Golden Pond beginning June 5th. Muncie Civic Theater has The Cemetery Club starting June 5th and The Wizard of Oz starting June 12th. Muncie Symphony Orchestra has its Festival on the Green on June 13th. IPR and the American Association of University Women are holding a used book sale through May 30th at the Ball State Alumni Center, various times on those days, so check indianapublicradio.org for details. And the Muncie Three Trails Music Series begins June 25th at Minnetrista with Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn. The series continues at Cannon Commons in July, September, and October with the Steel Drivers, Junior Brown, and Joe Lewis Walker. The concerts are free, and more information is available at MuncieThreeTrailsMusicSeries.org. This is the season of summer stock theater, Shakespeare in the Park, you know, that kind of thing. But how about Shakespeare in prison? That's what two Indiana College professors pulled off recently, directing inmates at the maximum security Pendleton Correctional Facility. They are Stacy Erickson, Assistant Professor of English at Manchester University, and Jack Heller, Assistant Professor of English at Huntington University.
This began from seeing similar programs in other states that I had participated in a little bit as a volunteer. And in 2013, I was working with a group of men at a prison in Kentucky and thinking for quite a while, maybe it's time for me to try a Shakespeare program at an Indiana prison. So I contacted the officials at the Pendleton Correctional Facility, and we went through some training. And in October 2013, we had the first session of Shakespeare at Pendleton. A month later, we settled upon a play that we would want to work on, which would be Shakespeare's Coriolanus, and then made our way through studying it and then worked on rehearsing it.
We're talking about material that's more than 400 years old. How is it relevant to the lives of people in prison today?
Well, the particular play we worked on, Coriolanus, deals with anger as a dominant emotion. And I think that we have a fair number of individuals in our group who had perhaps committed their offenses in a fit of anger. That's one potential. Any number of the plays may relate to the experiences of men in behind bars for whatever reason. Macbeth might speak to what does persuade somebody to do an act of murder. Measure for Measure might deal with what persuades a person to assert himself sexually on somebody. So any number of Shakespeare's plays might refer to occasions in a prison inmate's life. So these are some of the ways that connections occur. But essentially, I wanted the men to also have a role in picking the play, and we worked together on deciding what we wanted to do. Most of them had not heard of Coriolanus, but I think part of the appeal was that they had something new to learn.
Shakespeare is so much a part of our culture. I mean, Shakespeare is still relevant.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, that's why we have jobs. I think this is a perfect example of how Shakespeare is relevant, because along with the themes that Jack was talking about, you know, anger, kind of motivation to commit crimes, I think this play and all of the plays deal with things like family. Coriolanus and his mother have a very complicated relationship, and she has to convince him to, you know, make up with people that he's angry with, and it's about friendship and loyalty. So it's not just something that we can take to prisons, it's something that we can take anywhere.
I'm not familiar with the play. I'll bet a lot of the listeners aren't. What's a summary?
It's set in ancient Rome. I would say it's the third of sort of Shakespeare's plays, fourth if one counts Titus Andronicus, but that's a different set. Julius Caesar, Antony and Cleopatra, Coriolanus. Coriolanus is a Roman warrior. In some ways, he reminds me of a Dirty Harry figure. He goes around anything that gets in his way. He finds a way to remove that obstacle. It suggests in Act One that he single-handedly defeats this enemy of Rome, an opposing army. And as he goes back to his people, number of them want to celebrate and make him a political figure, but he is very unsuited to politics. At the same time, there are people who don't have any food and they're rioting about that. We did not do the riot scene in the prison production, but they are rioting about that. And there is conflict, and he essentially wants to respond to the lower classes of the Romans in the same way he responded to the enemies of Rome. Fight them, kill them, get rid of them. At the same time, he's trying to get their votes. So there are these two characters that we did have in our production who figure him out and know exactly how to provoke him, and they do. He has a temper tantrum and gets himself banished from Rome. What will he do now? Oddly enough, he decides to go join the Roman enemies. So then the Romans start to send people to ask him to come back, to make a peace, to do something like that. He really isn't too keen about that, but eventually he acquiesces and does this. And at that point, he's still with the enemies of Rome when he says, okay, I will figure this peace out. And the enemies of Rome will have nothing of it, so they kill him. And that's essentially the end of the play.
And I think that just kind of as we are working through it, I had read Coriolanus one time in graduate school. So it was neat for me to kind of actually realize this is a full play. And, you know, I can think through it along with the men that we are reading it with. I also realized along the way that it's about a soldier with PTSD, right? He doesn't know how to interact with people when he comes back from war. So I think that makes it even more relevant. And in a prison setting, especially, there's a lot of veterans.
Talk about the prison setting for a little bit. This is different from the classrooms that you're normally in.
It is. In some ways, it very much is. You know, we go through a lot of security to get in the classroom. But in some ways, it's not. We are in the education building. We are sitting in a classroom. There were desks sometimes. So it was, you know, they brought books and we had pen and paper. And sometimes Jack gave them homework. They liked homework, by the way. They liked discussion questions. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, it felt very regular to us in our jobs as professors.
Jack, I take it you've done work in prisons before. Does that arise from a sense of mission that you have?
It began for me when I first heard that there was such a thing. And there is a documentary movie made in 2005 called Shakespeare Behind Bars. And this movie documented a Shakespeare program in Kentucky for a year as the men there were working on doing The Tempest. And I got to know the director of the program after I saw the movie and said, I'm going to come down and see this. What is this that these men are doing Shakespeare in prison? So I began with going to see them do a show. And after that, I started visiting regularly. And in 2010, I started doing annual seminars with the men in Kentucky.
That's Jack Heller, assistant professor of English at Huntington University. He and Stacy Erickson, an assistant professor of English at Manchester University, directed a group of 18 inmates at Pendleton Correctional Facility in the Shakespeare play Coriolanus. While Coriolanus is a lesser-known Shakespeare play, the professors say its themes hit home with prison inmates. Coming up, Stacy Erickson talks about what it was like to go behind the high walls and what that meant to her.
Indiana Weekend, Real Radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
Stacey, had you had much experience in this kind of thing before?
I hadn't, actually. I'd seen the documentary and loved it. I mean, just randomly on PBS one day saw it and thought, I have to show every class of Shakespeare students this documentary. Because the men there understand Shakespeare in ways that I don't think any student I've ever had does, or that I do, because they're thinking about things like forgiveness and revenge. So I started showing the documentary. I actually kind of attached onto a field trip Jack was taking with his students to a Shakespeare group up in Michigan. And, you know, one visit to a Shakespeare group in prison and you're hooked. So I think it's a way that I am sort of kind of learning more about Shakespeare myself, but I think it's also, you know, it's service learning too. The students mm-hmm. that come visit these programs are beyond the book, right? They're realizing what you can do with a 400-year-old text.
So part of what's happening is you're learning about this material from their reaction to it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, just they share, you know, what their reaction is to a certain scene. And I think, wow, I've never really thought about it that way. You know, they're bringing in their childhood at Coriolanus with his relationship with his parents. They think about some interaction they had with their father or mother. And then I think, oh, yeah, I understand that. So
in the production that we just finished, maybe I shouldn't be in the interview role, but I thought that our Volumnia mm-hmm. did some interesting things I did not expect. I always think of Volumnia as a very tough character.
She's the mother.
You know, she's Lady Macbeth's mom. and yet, the man that we had performing the role, I thought really found a certain amount of pathos that mm-hmm. I didn't expect. Yeah. I mean, it seemed like his performance suggested that he understood that character as being genuinely hurt. Whereas, as I had read the play, I just thought she was just being herself all the time.
I completely agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think that he made it very, you know, multidimensional. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, this character is, she's a strong mother that rules her son. But in the scenes that we did, it was very tender at times. And the character, or the man playing the character, said later, I don't know if Jack heard this, but he said that he tried to cry but couldn't.
It was close enough.
He said, I don't know how actors can cry in a scene, but I'm going to work on that. Mm. So.
And so you have a particular audience or mm-hmm. people who can benefit from the insights in the material?
Well, we had an audience the night we did this play of about 100 people. A certain number were invited individuals at Stacy's institution and folks that I know. We were really limited in the number that we could invite. And then the rest of the audience were inmates. And I enjoyed hearing from the men. We've had an after-show meeting this week, and apparently there was a group of, I don't know if they were Mexicans or Mexican-Americans, but apparently they sat towards the back of the show and kind of discussed it a little bit back and forth in Spanish. In particular, why is our Coriolanus performer mad at the Aufidius performer? Because everyone knew them to actually be friends. And here they are fighting up in front of everybody. Well, all right, the action is at least conveying the meaning. And after a little conversation in Spanish about what is going on, they were right with it. The report that I had from those who were sitting near them said they really enjoyed the show too, even if it was not in a language that they really understood as well.
And I think too, I mean, that reminds me that the one of the performers in our production's first language isn't English. He told me this summer that Shakespeare was his third language, which I enjoy. But he was great, you know, and people say all the time to me, well, how can other people in prisons understand Shakespeare because it's so hard? And it's not. I mean, there are words that you kind of go through and figure out, but they understand the core of these plays. And I think that's the purpose of doing it.
We shouldn't mention him without saying just a piece more about that mm-hmm. that performer. He played one of the Roman generals in our show. And one of the things that he offered to our group was his art abilities. The designs that we have on the T-shirts that we use for costumes and the designs on the program were all drawings that he had done. Mm-hmm. So he had another outlet for that ability. And I think, I really enjoyed having him with us.
Did you notice any change in the folks as you worked with him?
Well, and that would be a change. His abilities to speak in English improved. he spoke up more often. I think he felt more confident in his abilities to communicate.
You heard from English professors Jack Heller of Huntington University and Stacey Erickson of Manchester University about what it was like to direct 18 maximum security prison inmates in the play Coriolanus, not the best known of Shakespeare's works, but a play whose themes of anger and control resonate with the men. Next, theater in a high security environment.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Give us an idea what this environment is like. Many people drive past the Pendleton Correctional Facility on Indiana 67. It's got almost medieval-looking high walls, looming, ominous guard towers, and concertina wire. What was it like to go into this place?
My first time going in, I was struck by how high the walls are. Some of the other prisons that I had visited actually used more along the lines of chain link fences at several layers and a lot of razor wire. But you're always able to see, okay, there's an over there. When I'm in Pendleton, there is a golf course right next to it. I'm always amazed by that fact, but there is a golf course just, I don't know which direction, I guess west of it. And you would not know that if you were in the prison. You would not know that right next to it is a golf course. And I think that it just feels so closed in that regard. The buildings are old. The classroom building that we had our sessions in, I would think that building dates from the 30s. Mm-hmm. That'd be my guess. At times, I actually do leave a little bit depressed about that building. But I keep going back in part because this is where the men that I work with have their lives. You know, I can't spend my time depressed about it because they have to spend all of their time there. Going into Pendleton, there is a lot of security. You have everything that you're bringing in searched and checked, and you get patted down. And it's kind of, as I told somebody, it's kind of like airport security times two. And they're very careful about things that people bring in. Never bring in a cell phone. I've never done that yet. You just live with the requirements.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very prison-like prison, I think. I mean, it's old, right? It looks like an old prison. And I agree. I mean, the security immediately when you go in, and there's multiple levels of it. At the same time, though, I mean, like I mentioned before, sometimes it just feels like we're in a classroom, right? And, you know, it's a like the guys come in and they open up the windows because they're hot in the classroom and the radio doesn't work sometimes, like an old building. And, you know, so once you're through the security, it kind of just feels regular.
That's right.
What do they tell you? What kind of briefing do they give you on your safety or what you can and can't do?
We both had to go through volunteer training. You have to do it once a year. And so you just kind of learn the requirements, what you bring, what you don't, who dress code, absolutely dress code.
What's the dress code?
Well, the dress, I mean, I think it's harder for as a woman, as the only woman in this group a lot of the times, or maybe the only woman ever.
Yeah.
it's more, you know, you have to wear socks and shoes and you can't wear skirts if they're above a certain length. I've actually had the female guard tell me sometimes that my short sleeve shirt was too short, but then I started to embrace it and say, I don't need to dress up at all. This is great. Like, mm-hmm. I can just wear my running shoes and my jeans and I'm and I'm comfortable.
Were you ever uncomfortable by the fact that, I mean, you were a woman. This is a maximum security male institution. Any catcalls or any fear like that?
No, not at all. And that also surprises people. I can tell you that my mother is still afraid that I go as the only woman in this group. But I honestly have never felt uncomfortable. I honestly haven't.
We've actually had more of that from the men in the Michigan prison than ever here.
Right.
Which I can't explain that, you know.
What do you mean you've had more? Tell me about it.
You know, if I brought a group of students, somebody out in the yard would say, hey, baby, come talk to me or something.
Yeah, nothing like
that
at Pendleton.
You know.
To me, it's just, you know, the guys in the group are, they're like sort of my students. They're sort of my fellow Shakespeare readers, so... They just see me as another person in the group.
What was the reaction that you saw that made you think, this is working? This is what is supposed to happen. This is why we came here.
One story that I wrote about in my reflection in the program was, it was this summer when we finished reading the play. And one of the guys in the group, as soon as we finished the play, some of them were talking about if it was their first time reading a full Shakespeare play. And one of them said that he was a nerd in the know now. And I think that's just great because it's true, right? Like now he knows Shakespeare. Now he's read Shakespeare. So to me, that was just a victory, right? Which I feel the same kind of victory with my own college students. You know, now you're one of us.
And in comes Romeo, he's moaning. You belong to me, I believe. Then someone says, you're in the wrong place, my friend. You'd better leave.
That is Stacy Erickson of Manchester University. She and fellow English professor Jack Heller of Huntington University taught Shakespeare to prison inmates at the Pendleton Correctional Facility and recently helped the men stage the play Coriolanus. There are a couple of ways to take this as you listen to them. It's a good deed, people privileged to teach at a university volunteering their time to help share the work of one of history's greatest writers. There's the incongruity, the incredible beauty of this work set against the grim prison walls. It's interesting to hear the professors talk about that. Then maybe there's sort of a moral to the story. Anybody who's been a crime victim would want offenders to feel the full measure of prison, but we've always known that with that retribution has to come some sense of reality that nearly all these people will be coming back. In that sense, programs like Shakespeare Behind Bars, the art program we talked about in another show, maybe they help prepare some of these folks to come back to life in regular society. And maybe they remind us that we can't give up on people, even convicted felons, if there's some way to help them back. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beauty Rest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.